I want to bless you as a congregation this morning. That song, Listen to Your Children Praying. I guess the Lord just spoke to me again as I was listening to this song, singing this song, how much this week has the Father heard me pray? How much time did I actually put into speaking to my Father, whether it's on my knees or whether it's throughout the day? Just a good reminder for me. If we want power, we need to connect to that power. We need to be able to tie into that power. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. And I'd like to look at verse 11 in chapter 2 to the end. And I know it's talking about two different things here, but I think we can tie them together. And I'd like for you to stand as we read verse 11 through the end of Ephesians 2, if you can, please. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You may be seated. I know this first part that we're going to look at is somewhat of a review where we've been. It's interesting, the more I read in Ephesians, the more I study, the more I see things that I missed. And I guess when we get to the end of Ephesians, we're not planning to go back through it right away again, but I'm guessing there's another time coming when I'll go through Ephesians again. But it's so beautiful when we read the Word of God and we think we've got it. And then we realize there's something we missed. God's timing is perfect. He speaks into our hearts at just the right time. Verse 11 there, he talks about the circumcision and the uncircumcision, talking about the Jew and the Gentile. The Gentile being the uncircumcised, considered the unclean. I have to bring this into our life today. Before Christ, in verse 12, without Christ, before Christ, we were unclean. There's nothing good about us before Christ. That's the uncircumcision. In the old law, they had circumcision. They took a knife and they circumcised. That was for the Gentiles. We now have a spiritual circumcision. A circumcision of the heart. When there's a knife, there's pain. The circumcision that happens in the heart doesn't feel good. It hurts. Why? Because it's removing self. It's removing what we like. But it's replacing with something good. We need to see the end result. Be excited about the end result. For he is our peace, verse 14. He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Thinking about the veil that was rent, that was torn from top to bottom. When Christ was on the cross, we had a cross sitting here. It's going right now, but when Christ was on that cross, and He was hanging there between heaven and earth for you and I, the blood that flowed, we had opportunity, we still do, to come to the foot of this cross and to allow that blood to wash over us and to cleanse us, to make us clean. As a Gentile, as someone that was lost, we now have access into the Holy of Holies. Verse 15, he says, of twain one new man. For to make in himself of twain one new man. No longer does the Jew have access to the Father any more than what the Gentile does. I'm not saying there's not going to be something special for the Jew yet. I'm not saying that. But in our salvation today, the Jew has to come to Jesus the same way the Gentile does. There is only one way. That's through Jesus. Only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. We were a long ways from Christ. We were walking our own path. And in verse 17, he says, He came and preached peace to you who were far off. How can we come close to Jesus? Why should He allow us to be a part of His family? We didn't do anything good, but it's not what we did, but it's what He did. The death that He was willing to suffer for you and I. I want to read a few verses here that talk about the Jew and the Gentile. Romans 2:28 says, For he is not a Jew which is one inward, outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, removing our sinful nature, that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Colossians 2:11 says, In whom ye also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. John 10 verse 16, Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Galatians 3:28, There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I want to look at three examples here real quick of the unity between the Jew and the Gentile. If we look in verse 19, he says, We are fellow citizens. We belong to the same kingdom. We have the same opportunities. Our kingdom is not of this world. We forget that. We don't belong here. This is a foreign country for us. Our kingdom is in heaven with God. But yet we live here and the kingdom of God is amongst us. We're longing for the same city. We're no strangers or guests, but we have been adopted. And since we are adopted, we can call Him Father. Abba Father. Abba Father means Daddy Father. Just like I call my father Dad. In a spiritual sense, I can call Him my Dad, my eternal Father. The second one I want to look at is members of the household of God, also in verse 19. He says, And of the household of God, we're reconciled both unto one body, in verse 16. We belong to a specific family. I'm not talking about Calvary Chapel, but I'm talking about belonging to a family that is worldwide. When I look at some of the things, the CAM thing this morning, or when I look at some of the countries, third world countries where they're serving God, I belong to that family. I belong to the kingdom of God. And I believe you do too. We belong to a special family. Not just any family, but the family of God. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." He presents us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That says without a single fault. I can't do that, neither can you. But through the blood of Jesus, He can consider us spotless. I don't understand that. I'll be honest with you. I don't get that. Why should my Savior come and die for me when I spit in His face? Why should He give Himself for me? Because of His love. Because of His great love that He has for us. He presents us spotless. We belong to a wonderful family, the household of God. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When I have pride, I'm not going to be willing to help my brother. I'm not going to be willing to step in and to bend over backwards to help restore my brother. I say I'm family, but I don't think so. I'm not going to go that far. What he did, he earned. But when we come in the spirit of meekness and showing love to the brotherhood, we are family. We belong together. We need each other. We are special in the eyes of the Father. The third one I'd like to see is that we're part of a building. Verse 20 and 21, he talks about being built. We're part of the same holy structure. And we're going to get into this here in just a little bit about the foundation. We function as a unit. We work together for the same cause. That is unity. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is working together as a body for one cause. Unity. Really quickly here, I want to look at what causes disunity. Proverbs 17:19. One phrase out of that verse. He says, "He loveth transgression that loveth strife." Strife is contention, it's quarreling. He that loveth transgression or sin. You want to tear apart your body? Start pointing fingers. I know, I've been there. If we want the body to function together, we need to love. Now let's go on to verse 20. And I've titled my message this morning, "A Solid Foundation." A solid foundation. And this is where I'd like to spend just a little bit of time. Looking at verse 20, 21, and 22. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." A foundation. How important, those of you who are builders here today, how important is a foundation? Tom says very important. Craig, I got a couple pictures I want you to show you this morning. That's not the kind of building we want to build, is it? The top of the building is right here on the bottom. The bottom of the building is on the other side, on the top side. They must have built that building strong for the idea that it didn't fall apart when it landed. That building stood there for a while and eventually started leaning. It's in China. Started leaning. And they kept leaning more and more. And one day it fell. The foundation was terrible. This is the foundation. What do you see missing in that foundation? Do you see something there that's missing? Or maybe I should say done wrong. What about these pillars here? What's wrong with those pillars? Okay, maybe depth. No strength. No rebar, that's one. They're hollow. They're hollow. They're saving money. Friends, when it comes to Jesus Christ, we do not save money. We don't skimp. When it comes to Jesus Christ, it's all or nothing. We cannot get away from that. It's all or nothing. The foundation that they laid here, that was put here, was hollow. They saved some dollars by not filling in the center. They saved some dollars by not putting in that rebar. But did the building stand? The building fell. Craig, go to the next picture. Who knows what that is? A tower of, I like to say pizza, it's not pizza. But anyway, the Tower of Pisa. Built in the 1100s. It took about 200 years to build this little building here, this tower. I think it's 8 stories high, I'm not sure. But soon after they started building, they realized there's something wrong with the soil. The building started leaning. Instead of stopping and correcting the problem, yeah, they started it a little bit, but instead of stopping and correcting the problem, they decided to work on the floors from there on up and try to level them off a little bit more and leave it, I guess, as a building. Foundation. How important, thank you, Craig. How important is a foundation? Let me tell you a little bit about our house in San Antonio. When you walk to the front door on the outside, we had an archway. We had, if you looked in the brickwork, there were some zigzags all the way down to the top of the archway. Some cracks that were in the cement. If you walked inside, turned around and looked back at the door, there was a crack that went up the drywall. A pretty good sized crack. I put a Band-Aid on it. I patched it up and painted over it. Did I take care of the problem? No. San Antonio, actually most of the state of Texas, has dirt, a soil that's called Texas or Houston clay. When it rains, it swells. It can swell at least 2 or 3 times its normal size. What happens to a house when the dirt swells? Wherever that happens, it's going to raise. It's going to break. When it dries out, it pulls together real tight. What happens then? Everything settles back in and maybe even further than what it was before, and you have foundations that break. Now they could have, when they built that house, they could have come in and they could have taken cement pillars, which they do. If I want that house fixed, I would call in a building company or a structure company. They would take a little cement pillar and they'd start driving it from top of the ground. They'd start driving that. And they would drive as high as 18 of those until they hit something solid. So why don't we do that at the beginning? Why don't we fix that house at the beginning? Why don't we go onto solid ground at the beginning and we're not going to have all the cracking that goes on? Because we've got something solid to stand on. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why not? It says there in that same verse, in verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, we like to call on the name of the Lord. We like to say that, yeah, we're His children, that we're walking with Him, but we don't have a foundation. It's just a name. God spoke to me when I was reading this, or when I was studying this. Have I made Him my foundation? There's a verse of 1 Corinthians 3:10 that says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How many foundations am I putting down that are not of Jesus, that are myself? I'm not going to try to name those this morning. I'll let you think about that. But am I building on a foundation that is not solid? A foundation that is built on things that I like, things that I desire, not the desires of God. Verse 22 of Matthew 7, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Him? Nothing wrong with prophesying, that's a good thing. In Thy name have cast out devils, that's a good thing. And we've done wonderful works, many wonderful works, that's a good thing. But there's something that they missed. We did it in our name, not in His. We didn't do the will of the Father. Let's go on down to verse 25. Verse 24, I'm sorry. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. There's also a place in San Antonio when I would go up into the northern part of San Antonio to do some yard work. For weeks, I would see a tractor sitting out there in a little lot, a backhoe, and he had a jackhammer on the front of it. It was really, really noisy. The land there is about all rock. So they would spend weeks digging out a foundation for their house. And that's what they would build on. They would lay sand in bags into these foundations for something for the house to set on. They had a solid base, a solid rock, and the houses would stand. It was not an easy foundation. They worked to put that foundation in place. Jesus took care of that for us. He laid the foundation. Let's think a little bit about the chief cornerstone, which we read about. In the Bible times, they would, for their building, they would take four stones for the corners. These stones would carry the weight of that building. The chief cornerstone would be one setting. That's the first one they lay. If that stone wasn't 100% perfect, the rest of the building wasn't going to function. Jesus is our chief cornerstone. He is perfect. There is no blemish. There is nothing that would keep Him from being our cornerstone. It's placed perfectly. Then the other stones come into place. And then He says, we have the prophets. Oh, I forget where that verse is at. 20. We have the apostles and prophets, also part of that foundation. We have something very solid to build on. We're going to face storms. Look at this in verse 24. This guy built his house upon a rock, and in 25, the rain descended. Are we going to have storms? Oh yeah. We're going to have storms in our lives. What happens if we are not on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? I know this from experience too. What happens when we are not founded on Jesus Christ? Shifting. Cracks in the walls. I could name a few that I had to deal with. But when our foundation is on Jesus Christ, the wind is going to blow. And it's not like the three little piggies. It's not going to blow over. The wind is going to blow. And we can stand because we have Jesus Christ. But friends, don't expect to stand when the storm comes. Don't expect to stand if you're not solid, if your base is not solid on Jesus Christ. You're going to blow over. We're going to have problems. We need to base our walk on Jesus Christ. Confessing Jesus Christ is essential to salvation. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. These people made confession, but there was no weight behind it. They didn't do his works. No, we're not saved by works, by a long shot not. But works are going to follow a true walk, a personal walk with him. Maybe we could say calling him Lord, Lord, was using him just as a name. But we need to make the name Lord his title and come underneath him as a servant. He is Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. We come underneath him as a servant. And by the way, he showed that to us better than anybody else can show us, servanthood. We are to follow his example. We get pretty good with our spiritual language, the these and the thous and the such, and we add all that stuff into it. We make it sound good. We can even quote a lot of scripture. But if we're not based on the solid rock, it's empty. It's not going to stand. Let's go to the last verse in Ephesians there in chapter 2. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Actually, let's go to verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Unity. Working together. Growing together in the Lord. We are to be a house where the Spirit dwells in. If we're founded on the rock Jesus Christ and we're walking with Him, the Holy Spirit can live in us. Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or knit together really tight by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want us to leave with this thought this morning. We're to be so founded on the solid rock Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit can indwell us. That we are a tool that He can use for His honor and for His glory to bring Him praise. It's all about holy living to honor and glorify Him. I want us to think about this morning. Is my life patterned after Jesus Christ? Am I walking the footsteps that He laid here for us? Am I living holy? Or is my life just haphazard? Anything can happen that likes to happen. And we're good with that. Or are we walking faithfully? That's my challenge for this morning. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, this morning we thank You for the foundation that was laid. Something that we can't do, Lord. But that You were willing to walk the path, to take that cup of suffering for us, Father. And to lay a good foundation that we can build on. Lord, we bless You. And we love You. We ask that You would work in our hearts this morning. Father, that You would speak to each one of us. Help us not to leave here, Father, without knowing that we are securely founded on You. We bless You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.